the BBC has removed Jimmy Savile's episode of Desert Island Discs from the online archive. Plaques with his name have gone down as well from buildings around the nation. They're trying to work out, of course, what to do with the episodes of Top of the Pops that look rather creepy anyway, but now would rather make your skin crawl to look at them. Is it all, though, a bit silly, a bit Soviet? Should we be able to cope with the fact that he, indeed other controversial figures through history, were once celebrated, only to fall from grace? Professor Mark Harrison is a specialist in Soviet history at the University of Warwick and is on the line, and Jennifer Wilde is consultant clinical psychologist at King's College London. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
They were good at it in Russia, weren't they?
They did it very well. It was not uncommon under communist rule for politically inconvenient people to disappear, and they, when they disappeared, they were taken out of the public discourse and public memory, so that if they had towns and squares named after them, their names were changed, their books were taken out of the libraries. If you had your books at home, you were supposed to destroy them or turn them in. It was done very thoroughly.
And you think we are going too far in that direction?
I think when we've honoured somebody who turns out not to be worthy of that honour, it's absolutely right to take those honours away. I think it's another matter to delete the historical record. And one of the unfortunate consequences is that it results in a kind of two-tier access to history. There are ordinary people who are not considered trustworthy to handle what's out there, and then there are the proper historians who might perhaps be allowed to look at these records in a special room.
Hmm.
I think that can be unfortunate.
Jennifer Wilde?
I think limiting access to records which honor perpetrators' lives is really important because it reduces exposure to triggers. So if somebody has been abused at the hand of a perpetrator and they're appearing a lot in the media, every time they see this perpetrator in the media or have, you know, click on records which show them, it's essentially experiencing a mini re-traumatization of what they went through. So reducing access to records is important. It also helps people to feel believed, which means that they can come forward, talk about what happened. It reduces levels of shame, which means they're less likely to withdraw and can talk about this and move on with their lives.
I can see what you mean. I mean, if the BBC were just rerunning episodes of Top of the Pops or indeed the Desert Island Discs, or I could see that would affect people. But actually, you have to search to find these things, and particularly the online archive of Desert Island Discs, you'd have to go there, and it seems going to be going a bit far. If that upset you, and you could understand why it might in some cases, you just wouldn't do it.
Well, you as a victim wouldn't do it, but other people would be doing it, and that is what reminds people of what happened and what they suffered. So it's a gesture, and it helps people to really feel as though they're being believed, as well as reducing potentially how much the perpetrator is being talked about in the media.
It's a balance, isn't it, Professor Harrison?
I think so, and I completely understand what Joanna is saying. I think if one of my family members had suffered in this way, I'd want to drive a stake through his heart. At the same time, there is another principle, which is the principle of free and equal access. So we have to balance these things. I'm not telling you that I know what the answer is, but there is another principle here.
Hmm. I mean, if you look at places where really terrible things have happened on a kind of mass scale, Jennifer Wilde,
yes.
I mean, thinking of Cambodia as an example. You know, they've had to take decisions. There was terrible torture, awful brutality that went on for a long time, but they had to take decisions, didn't they, about what they kept in terms of the physical reminders and what they raised to the ground.
And they've done a really excellent job. So there are two sites in Phnom Penh. One, where the prison where a lot of torture happened, has remained exactly the same. And another, the killing fields, where a memorial has been built to the people who died there. And both are really important for sufferers. The prison that's remained the same really shows people who are people who visit Cambodia exactly what happened and the extent of the suffering, which honors what you know, people who died at the hands of the Khmer Rouge went through. It honors their lives. As well as the killing fields, it helps sufferers as well as people who visit to show that the suffering really is in the past, and it makes that distinction between what happened then and what's going on now, and it helps people to come to terms with this is really an event in the past, and it's safe and it's okay to move on, and there are differences today.
Okay, Jennifer Wilde and Professor Mark Harrison, thanks both very much.